Periodically, you'll see a bumper sticker that says something like, visualize world peace. And many today are crying out and asking for some form of international peace accord. And yet the amazing truth of the matter is that those who are crying out for international peace are normally not experiencing inner peace. While they're crying out for world peace, they do not have peace in their own family rooms, in their own households. They themselves are not free from anger and fear and anxiety and the annoyances of this life. And so while they want a global peace, they are not experiencing an inner peace. Now the Bible is very clear this morning that those who deny God will not experience peace in their life. Those who are living today a godless life will not know the inner peace of God, will not know the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. But you know, it's an amazing thing that even today many Christians and non-Christians alike, of course, are ruled by stress rather than by the stillness of the Spirit of God. Many Christians today are controlled by anxiety and stress in their personal lives and in their married lives rather than being controlled by the Holy Spirit and by the stillness of the Spirit of God in their life. Now, different people seem to cope with stress in different ways. A friend recently gave me some suggestions on how to handle stress, and he listed several things. I thought I'd share them with you this morning. He said one way to handle stress is make a list of things you have already done. I thought that was pretty good, amen? Just make a list of things. Don't worry about the things you haven't done. Just focus on the things that are already done. He said the second way is fill out your tax form using Roman numerals. He thought that might be another way just to kind of feel better about the day. The third way would be this. He said you can tape pictures of your boss onto watermelons and launch them from high places. That might help some of you this week. The fourth way he suggested, he said you can go shopping, buy everything, sweat in it, and return it the next day. He thought that might just somehow make you feel a little better about the day. Another way he said you can deal with stress is drive to work in reverse. Just do something different. Drive to work in reverse. I'm not sure that would really take care of much stress for me, but some of you might want to try it tomorrow. We'll visit you in the hospital tomorrow evening. This one I thought would maybe help some of you with stress. Make up a language and ask people directions in it. Sometimes I think people do that. Sometimes I think people at the drive-thru at McDonald's do that to me just to kind of confuse me. I'm not sure. But you know, people today do all kinds of things to try to cope with stress, from tapes of waterfalls and rainstorms and this type of thing to certain types of music they try to listen to. Men believe today that they can attain peace by rearranging the external pressures and by achieving external goals. We feel like if we change just some of our environment, then somehow we're going to experience peace inside our lives. But God has some very specific instructions for how a man or a woman today can know His peace in their life. And I want you to notice in the outline this morning the prerequisites for knowing the peace of God. The prerequisites for knowing the peace of God. We see in our scripture this morning in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now the prerequisite for knowing true peace this morning is first of all to understand the price that God paid in order that you might have peace. To understand the price that God paid in order that you might have peace. You see, God has paid a price in order that we might know His peace in our lives. Now, the Bible says in verse number 20 that the price God paid was the blood of His own Son on the cross of Calvary. The price that He paid was the blood of the cross. Now, someone might say, well, why did God pay the price of His own Son's blood in order that we might have peace today? Why would God have paid such a price? And the scriptures indicate that there are two reasons that God sent his only begotten Son and allowed him to shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. The first reason was that we were separated from God by sin. We were separated from God by sin. Notice what it says in verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. We were not at peace with God as a human race, and we needed to be reconciled to God. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, all of us have sinned. And God's glory is a mark that none of us can attain. And so we come short of the glory of God. And somehow we needed to be reconciled to God. Somehow the account needed to be adjusted so that we could have a relationship with God. We were not at peace with God. And God said the only way that man could be reconciled, the only way that we could have peace with God, was through the blood of his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we were separated from God by sin, and a sacrifice for sin had to be made in order that we would be reconciled to God. The sacrifice was the blood of Jesus Christ, the Creator and Redeemer of this world. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. In other words, my friend, had Jesus Christ not died on that cross, there would be no way for you and for me to have peace with God today, because we have peace with God only through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the prerequisite for knowing peace with God is, first of all, to understand the price that God paid. Do you realize today how much God loves you? Do you realize today that when he sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sin, he was not merely providing a payment for sin, but he was providing a way that we could relate to him, that we can be reconciled to him. We were separated from God, but thank God, through the cross of Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to God. If this morning someone will experience peace with God, they will only find it through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what the Apostle Paul is speaking of here in Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Man was separated from God, but through the blood of the cross, there is peace provided for anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. And without the shedding of that blood, there is no remission for sin. Without the shedding of that blood, there is no peace afforded to the world today. I'm glad today that Jesus loved me so much and loved you so much that he would shed his blood in order that we might be reconciled to God. Now then, we must understand God's price for sin. We must understand the gospel, that we as sinners needed a Savior and that Jesus Christ shed his blood for our sin. But you know, it's one thing to understand that mentally. It is another thing to believe it in our hearts. So we must not only understand this, but we must also believe it in our heart. The Bible tells us that we must believe his payment is sufficient for sin. You know, the Bible speaks of this in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Romans 5:1 is found in your notes this morning, and it says these words, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice the word faith in that verse. The word faith means a total trust or confidence in. So we must not only understand the gospel, we must put our trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now we must put our total confidence in Jesus Christ. If we will have peace with him, we must understand then that peace with God is available only through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 states it in this way, for by grace are you saved, that's God's part, showing undeserved favor. But then it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is the part that man must play. Faith is where I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I recognize that he is God's payment for sin. And by trusting Christ by faith, a person makes peace with God. I remember when I came to Lancaster, I had been here maybe a month or two, and someone called from the hospital, and they said, "We don't know you, and you don't know us, but they said we were wondering if you would come and if you would help us in a particular situation here," and one of their loved ones was nigh unto death, and they said, would you help us with this loved one that they might make peace with God before they go on into eternity. How many of you have ever heard that term, make peace with God? And so I walked into the hospital room, and as I walked in, one of the nurses said to me, she said, "If you need some holy water, it's right around the corner here. We have these little containers. Do you need something for the holy water?" And I said, "No, we won't be needing any holy water today." And I was able to go in and speak to this man who had cancer, and I was able to open the Word of God with him, and I was able to share with him the old story about Jesus Christ and how he shed his blood on a cross in order to forgive us of our sins. And after a little while, that man prayed to receive Christ as his Savior. You know, that man had peace with God, not because of holy water, not because of church membership, but because he put his faith in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth. The prerequisite for knowing peace with God is that you would receive His Son, Jesus Christ, by faith as your Savior. That's where peace with God begins. Now thank the Lord for it. But I want you to notice, secondly this morning, the priorities for growing in peace. The priorities for growing in peace. And I want you to understand with me this morning that once a person accepts Christ as his Savior by faith, they are at peace with God. They are at peace with God. But we must establish proper priorities in order to know the peace of God on a daily basis. Salvation will put you at peace with God. Positionally, once someone accepts Christ, they're at peace with God. Their sins are forgiven. God sees their iniquities no more. The blood of Christ covers them. They're at peace with God. But you know, today, being at peace with God and having the peace of God in your heart are two totally different things. And many Christians today are at peace with God, but they are not experiencing the peace of God in their heart. Let's look over to the book of Philippians for a moment. Philippians chapter 4, as we consider this matter of having the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, and beginning in verse number 5, it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." The word moderation means gentleness or calmness. "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." That phrase means that Jesus Christ's return is imminent. It could happen in a moment. That's why you and I can have peace in our hearts. But read on, verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." How many of you have ever figured out that even Christians have bad days? How many of you have ever figured out that sometimes what people say regarding the Christian life being a bed of roses, that once in a while there's some thorns along the way? Someone told me a while back some ways to know that you're having a bad day. They said, you know you're having a bad day when you wake up face down on the pavement. That's a good indicator. Said, you know you're going to have a bad day when you call the suicide prevention hotline and they put you on hold. That's the sign you're having a bad day. You know you're having a bad day when you turn on the TV news and they're showing emergency escape routes from your city. You know you're having a bad day when your horn goes off accidentally and remains stuck as you follow a group of Hell's Angels down the freeway. That's the sign of a pretty bad day. Now, how can we set some priorities in our life so that even when the horn gets stuck, so that even when trials come, we can still know the peace of God? What are His priorities? And I want you to see them from the Scriptures this morning. First of all, if we will know the peace of God in our lives, we must pray biblically. We must pray biblically. Now, the Bible speaks of it in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. The word careful means to be full of care or full of worry. Be full of worry for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. The Bible says in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That is what prayer is all about. It is all about focusing on the Lord, realizing His infinite resources, and coming to Him with the burdens of our heart. Now, the Bible says that we're to come to Him, first of all, with what it says in verse 6, is prayer. Prayer. You know, one of my favorite songs as a boy growing up was a song, it's number 435 in your songbook this morning, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Boy, I like that song. And the words to the first verse simply say, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now, I want to say this morning that many times peace eludes us as Christians because we do not take things to the Lord in prayer. We must learn to pray biblically. Now then, not only does the Bible mention the word prayer, but the second word in this verse is the word supplication. The word supplication means to cry out to God for help. It means to ask Him for help. I notice that my children don't have much of a problem doing that with me at home. Dad, I need $5. Dad, I need $10. And we now have three teenagers at home. Some of you, would you move me up on your prayer list just a notch? Boy, I'm telling you what, they're not embarrassed to ask for anything. And it seems like they always need something. But I'm glad they ask me. And you know, as a parent, it's the desire of your heart to meet their needs. But how much more is it God's desire to meet our needs? How much more does God love us? And the Bible says we can come to Him with prayer and supplication. George Mueller, a great preacher of yesteryear in England, a man whose orphanages housed thousands of children in his day, George Mueller, a great man of prayer, said these words, "To care is a virtue. To foster care is sin. For each anxiety is to not trust in God, but to trust in oneself and to promote inner suffering, fear, and worry." God says if we're going to understand and know His peace on a daily basis, we must pray biblically. And the Bible indicates in verse 6 that we must pray and come with supplications. And notice what else it says in verse 6, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. My friend, no matter what's going on in your life today, no matter what may seem to rob the peace from your heart, there are always things to be thankful for. Amen? Always things to give thanks to the Lord for. And a dangerous place in our lives is when we fail to give thanks to God for what is going right. When we fail to give Him thanks for salvation, for the Word of God, for the health that He's given to us. And so make your request known with thanksgiving. We had a wonderful night this past Friday night here on the campus of the church, and the Christian school put on some festival events and various games and this type of a thing. And I enjoyed just walking around fellowshipping with our church family and just having the opportunity to howdy with some folks and just see how folks were doing. And one of our members of our church who's here this morning, bless my heart, and he came up and talked to me briefly, and we were just for some reason talking about the subject of prayer. And he said, you know, Pastor, he said a year ago, he said it was kind of a challenge to pray for 10 minutes. He said, I would wonder to myself, what am I going to pray about for all that time for 10 minutes? He said, you know, he said 10 minutes is nothing. He said, I'm enjoying now my daily time in prayer with the Lord. He said, I just can't get enough time to pray and to really talk to the Lord on a daily basis. You know, I'll be honest with you, that was a real highlight for my ministry this year, to hear about a man who's learning how to pray and how that the time just cannot be enough in his prayer with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. If you and I would spend that kind of time with our Lord each day, there is a peace that passes all understanding. There's an assurance that comes into our heart because we know that everything's all right with our Father in heaven. If we're going to have the peace of God, we must learn to pray biblically. And that's what the Bible says, that if we will pray biblically, verse number 7 states, that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes people say, my heart is so heavy. Sometimes people say, I'm losing my mind. I want to encourage you, friend, to bring it to the Lord in prayer. Pray for 5 minutes and 10 minutes and 15 minutes, and don't get up until that peace of God comes over your soul, until you're ready for that day, praying biblically. But not only does the Bible indicate that we must pray biblically if we want to maintain peace, but notice, secondly, we must think spiritually. We must think spiritually. Now notice what it says in verse 8. And many of you have read this verse before. Years ago we had this verse in a plaque right on top of the television. And I think you'll see why in just a moment. Let's notice verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, we cannot have a corrupted thought life and be at inner peace. You cannot have a corrupt thought life and have inner peace. You cannot rest well. You cannot think properly when your mind is cluttered with an improper thought process. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so the Bible gives to us in verse number 8 that we must be thinking spiritually. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 states it this way: for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the man who has a spiritual mind, who is thinking properly, is going to have peace in his heart. He's going to have this peace that passes all understanding. Now notice in verse 8, God's categories for right thinking. He says we're to think about things that are true. We're to think about things that are honest or holy. Things that are just. Things that are pure, not contaminated. Things that are lovely. Things that are of good report. Things that are virtuous. He lists here things that are praiseworthy, not gossip, not maliciousness. So many times people say, well, what happened at work today? What did they do to you? Did you hear about him? And let me tell you about this person. The Bible says we're not going to be at peace in our hearts if we take that in. We're not going to be at peace in our hearts if we're harboring things that are not virtuous and praiseworthy and lovely. Now, you see, we had that on our television. That's why the only thing we ever watched was Leave It to Beaver back then, you see. Because if you really think about it, you're going to have to guard what comes in through the eye gate and the ear gate. If you're going to think spiritually, you're going to have to be careful with those entertainment forms and with the things that people say to you and so forth. You cannot listen to abusive music or watch demonic movies or look at wicked things and experience the peace of God. It just won't happen. And I'm saying today, many times our children are nervous and they're having attention disorders and they're having struggles in their life because all they're watching are their television and Nintendo and destruction and blood and karate and killing and murder. And we wonder, what's wrong with our children today? I'll tell you why there's no peace with our children today. We are giving them a diet of destruction. They are not thinking spiritually. They are thinking carnally. And to be carnally minded, Romans 8, 6, is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so we must understand the importance of praying biblically, thinking spiritually, and thirdly, living obediently. Notice what it says in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And what does it say here in verse 9? Let's read this last phrase together. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let's read it one more time. And the God of peace shall be with you. So the Bible says if we will pray biblically, think spiritually, and live obediently, the God of peace will be with us. Now, sometimes you'll see a Christian and they'll be following, just like Paul says, the things they've seen, the things that they've heard, the things that they understand, they're doing that. And then that Christian comes to the place and says, I don't want to do that anymore. I'll kind of rewrite the script. God, I'll be as involved as I think I need to be. I'll pray as much as I think I need to pray. I'll read the Bible as much as I think I need to read. And pretty soon they start kind of, you know, trying to negotiate with God or something. And you know what happens? Every time in the life of a Christian who at one point was here and now they're starting this number, they can tell you all day that they're just doing great, but there's not the peace in their heart that they had when they were right here. Good morning. There's a lack of peace in their heart. Because all of a sudden, they're not obeying the scriptures and they're not doing what God's word commands them to do. And so the Bible promise in verse 9, the promise from God is that the God of peace shall be with you. But my friend, when we are disobeying verse 9, that peace all of a sudden is not there. And so the peace of an authentic Christian begins with salvation in Jesus Christ. It continues when we pray biblically, think spiritually, and when we obey immediately. We live obediently, then God is going to allow us to know His peace in our hearts. Now we see, first of all, this morning, the prerequisite for peace is knowing Jesus Christ. Secondly, the priorities for growing in peace have been stated here in Philippians. Let's notice one more thing about God's peace this morning. The protection that we receive through God's peace. Now folks, please hear me this morning. What we're talking about today, if we'll apply it, you will be protected in your marriage. You will be protected in your family. Your children will be protected. You will live for the Lord in the future if we'll apply what we're talking about today. There is protection in the life of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you say, what do you mean by that? Let me share three verses with you. The protection is listed in our outline. Letter A, our heart is protected through prayer. Our heart will be protected. Now, Philippians 4 and verse number 7 said something I want to come back to. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, notice this word, shall keep your heart. The word keep means to guard your heart. It means to guard your heart. So, if I spend time in prayer and I'm giving my burdens to the Lord, God's going to keep my heart. He's going to guard my heart. How many of you recognize Satan has fiery darts and he's trying to throw discouragement at you? He's trying to throw various temptations in the way. But when you spend time with the Lord in prayer and Bible study, you're setting up a guard around your heart so that his darts cannot penetrate. And so when it says to keep your heart, it means to guard your heart. And the peace of God will guard your heart. Oh, what a blessing when you have such peace with the Lord that you're able to recognize it and to enjoy it, and the devil does not come and take it away. Then notice another verse found here, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15 speaks about God's peace also, and it says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. The peace of God rule in your heart. This word peace means to act as an umpire. To act as an umpire. Again, God's peace is protecting. God's peace is bringing fairness. God's peace is protecting your heart. And then the third verse is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that the God of peace will sanctify your heart. The word sanctify means that He will set your heart apart. In other words, our heart will not be given over to the things of this world, but the God of peace will set us apart and we will be protected as we follow His peace. When we start seeking fun and peace in the ways of this world, we're opening up our heart to the wrong things. You show me a man who has to listen to some kind of wicked tapes or watch wicked tapes to just relax, or listen to some new age teacher just to kind of unwind, he's opening up his heart to the wrong influences. But you show me a man who opens his heart up to the Lord in prayer and to the Word of God, God says, I'm going to guard your heart. I'm going to be like an umpire over your heart to keep the wrong influences out. I'm going to sanctify your heart. How many of you tomorrow as you go to work would like to go to work knowing that God is guarding your heart? Well, why don't you invite him in to do that through prayer tomorrow morning? Why don't you say, Lord, I ask you to guard my heart today. I ask you to lead me and guide me so that I'll be at peace all through this day with you, so that I'll be walking closely with you in this day. And then I want you to notice, secondly, our testimony is protected through the Word of God. Our testimony is protected through the Word of God. Now, I want you to read there in the notes, Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165, and it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Prayer will protect your heart, but the Word of God will build an immunity into your heart that will cause you to be immune to reacting with pride or sin. In other words, the Word of God also brings peace into our heart. Now, prayer will give us a peace that passes all understanding, but the Word of God also gives us a peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You see, the more I spend in the Word of God, the more immune to pride and to a reactionary spirit I will have. Sometimes you'll see Christians and they're so easily upset. And sometimes, I can't believe she did that. I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell him what I think about it. And just at the drop of a hat, boy, they're ready to fight. But you know, God's Word says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And you see, as you and I spend time in the Word of God, all things are still going to be an annoyance, but not to the same degree, because we're at peace with the Lord. We're going to be able to have peace with other people as well. And so we have a protection through the peace of God. Now, the Word of God will build that immunity into your heart. As you grow as a Christian, you should be becoming more and more stable, less and less reactionary, more of an immunity being built up towards those things that once bothered you, so that your testimony is strong and stable for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Jesus Christ has promised his followers that we can have peace, not the world's peace, not a temporary fix like the alcoholic or the drug addict, but we can know a peace that passes all understanding. The prerequisite today for knowing that peace is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, to know the forgiveness of sins in your heart. If you're saved today, you're thankful for it, you're proud of it, you're glad to tell others about it. If you're truly saved, you are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And it's all because of the growth that is taking place in the life of someone who's applying the Word of God on a daily basis. May God grant you His peace and His mercy in this week, and may you open your heart to Him tomorrow morning through prayer and through the Word of God.